Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sister Wives with Mary Jane Kay. Today, I'll be giving my commentary on Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 9, Seeking a Silver Lining. What did I just watch? I can't believe this. The episode opens with the Merrifields, and Danielle said she wasn't going to the wedding. She wasn't going to Brazil. She said that last episode, she didn't stick to her guns. Danielle has flown to Brazil. Garrick has been in Rio for 6 weeks now. Danielle didn't want to come because she and Garrick, their relationship is in a rocky place. She and Garrick are in a bad place together. But despite everything, Danielle feels they're in a family. They chose to live this way. They chose to pursue polygamy. They chose to have this plural family. So Danielle is coming to Brazil. She wants to see Garrick. And she isn't sure where things are at with Garrick. It makes her feel awkward. But she feels it's important to be there despite her not wanting to go. So Danielle is going to go. I bet you Garrick manipulated the fuck out of Danielle till Danielle caved. Danielle wants to see if Garrick seems excited in person about her pregnancy. She feels like the other woman in this relationship, and she feels like the one who is coming into the relationship, as if Garrick and Natalia are the established ones and she is the one coming into this relationship. How awkward is that? Now, Danielle wonders if Garrick and Natalia are happy that she's here. She wonders how Garrick genuinely feels about the baby, and all of this scares her. It's overwhelming. Danielle has already, of course, shared the news of her pregnancy with Garrick, but they still haven't talked about it. They still haven't had a conversation about it, not since that FaceTime. So Danielle wonders where they're all at with her pregnancy and where she is with Garrick in their relationship. Garrick claims that he loves Danielle. He says she's his wife and they've been together for 16 years. But Garrick is shocked at the news that Danielle is pregnant. He was shocked when he heard it. He's still shocked because it's been 14 years since their last kid. Garrick wonders how in the world this happened. He just can't figure it out. Maybe, just maybe, it's because he got his dick wet. I love how clueless he acts. Like, oh, how could this happen? How could it be? Garrick points out that he expected Natalia to get pregnant. But despite that failed expectation that it's Danielle who's pregnant and not Natalia, Garrick says, kids are a blessing and yada, 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 what a blessing from God. But he did think it was going to be Natalia who was pregnant, not Danielle. To me, what it looked like is Garrick seems disappointed that it's Danielle who is carrying his child and not Natalia. Garrick and Natalia, they've discussed the communication issues that Natalia has with Danielle. And Garrick thinks that Natalia has some jealousy, that Natalia is insecure. So she tries to project those things onto Danielle. And Garrick says, to him, Danielle and Natalia are supposed to be sisters. And he can do his best as a husband to facilitate that relationship. But he feels Danielle and Natalia, they both have to talk together. They both have to work things out as sisters. There's only so much he can do. Garrick still doesn't know what's going to happen with the approval for his wedding. Apparently, there's a lot of hoops to jump through in Brazil. Next up are the Sherwoods. Sarah is coming over and they are going to ask Sarah to be exclusive. Ashley really likes Sarah. Shane is optimistic about her. Shane really wants to make sure that Sarah ticks all of his boxes for the person he has in mind for Ashley. He still questions if Sarah is that person. And today, Shane plans on grilling Sarah. He has a lot of hard questions for her. Ashley knows some people might think that it's way too soon to ask for exclusivity. But she points out that while polygamy is a form of polyamory, the common dynamic that they have encountered is multiple partners having multiple partners themselves. And that's totally not what the Sherwoods are looking for. So that's why they want to ask for this exclusivity up front. Sarah felt the last meeting with Shane and Ashley was intense. So she's nervous, but she is still open-minded because she has always been very curious about this type of relationship. Sarah feels that she and Ashley had a really good first date and she thought meeting Shane was cool. She didn't appreciate being grilled though. She expected something much more laid back, maybe not so rushed, not so serious. And that date, that second date with her and Ashley where she met Shane, It felt like an interview and it really threw Sarah off. Ashley really likes Sarah. She really likes that they have a lot in common. She likes the way that Sarah parents her son. So Ashley really wants to set exclusivity with Sarah and she really wants her to set her casual dating aside for good. Sarah has never had anyone ask her for exclusivity, not at the start of a relationship. She really wants to pursue getting to know the Sherwoods, and she can promise not to pursue other relationships herself. But she still wants to go on a few more dates with the Sherwoods to see if the chemistry is actually there. Sarah really felt put on the spot when the Sherwoods asked her for exclusivity, but she really felt like she needed to give them an immediate answer. So she isn't 100% sure about this, but she said yes because when you really like someone, you figure out a way to make it work. Ashley is very excited. She is thrilled. And Shane feels like he can finally let his guard down a little. Sarah, of course, wants to hang out again. And Ashley is shocked with how well it went. She didn't expect it to go so well. She didn't expect Sarah to agree to exclusivity. Shane himself is speechless because he just saw his wife Ashley and Sarah kiss. And it makes him feel awkward. He loves seeing Ashley flirty and happy, but he has some mixed feelings. It's not jealousy exactly. He doesn't know how he should feel about this, but he has mixed feelings and it's really awkward. Even though he and Sarah talked about this, he still feels awkward. I don't blame him. I think Ashley is totally into Sarah, hook, line, and sinker. And I think Shane is jealous. I think he's more jealous than he expected to be. And as much as Shane really wants his wife to be happy and secure, and amidst his sickness, he wants to have that peace of mind because of that illness, he still needs to be honest with himself, though. He still needs to be honest with Ashley as well, even if it means that Ashley and Sarah take things a little slower. I think Shane really wants to see his wife happy, so much so he wants that peace of mind because of his precarious health situation, that his wife has someone should anything happen to him. So I think Shane tries his best to just override and ignore his jealousy completely and hold it back so that things progress between Sarah and Ashley. And I'm not sure Shane expected Sarah to even agree to exclusivity. So I don't know if he's ready for this. I think this is going to be much harder for Shane than he anticipated. And I think Shane is really underestimating just how jealous or awkward or uncomfortable this might actually make him. I know he wants to see his wife happy. So although it seems like they have really good communication, I genuinely wonder how open Shane really is with his wife based on how awkward he already feels. Because I don't really see it getting any easier as this relationship between his wife and Sarah progresses at a fast pace. I just hope Ashley puts Shane first and that on the next date, Shane and Ashley are honest with Sarah about Shane's health and the situation they're in. I think this is a lot to handle and you have to be fully transparent as soon as possible with the new potential partner. You can't just spring something like this on them. You have to tell them as soon as possible. But I have to say, Shane and Ashley seem very upfront with the communication. They seem very honest. I just feel like Shane holds back some of his awkwardness and jealousy with Ashley because he wants her to be happy. And I'm not sure that that's in Shane's best interest or in the best interest of their relationship. Next up are the Salahuddins, Naeem and Nyla. They just had a very bad date with Alexis. So now they're going to meet with their friends, a couple of fellow polygamists, and they met these friends in a polygamous support group. The two couples regularly confide in each other and they act as a support system for each other to go through polygamy. Shamir, the wife, met Nyla through social media and she has been married to her husband for 5 years and they are currently on the hunt for a sister wife. She feels most people wrongly assume that polygamy revolves around sex when, for them, they are really just trying to create their own community. Shamir and her husband just met somebody, so they've just started dating, and Keisha flaked, of course, on meeting Nyla and Naeem previous to this bad date with Alexis. So Nyla complains that there is only a small prospective dating pool for them to choose from. And she worries about the women who are on these sites. There are women who just want to be taken care of, who really aren't looking for a family and a sister wife. And then there are also the women who come in and they intend to get the first wife moved out. They want to be the only wife. They want the man for themselves. So Nyla thinks some single women may look at a polygamous couple and wonder what they can gain from the situation. And she worries about the women's motives. She worries about women not wanting the family, only wanting the man for themselves. So it's really hard to find people of substance in polygamy, and they both talk about their struggles with it. Next up are the Merrifields in Brazil, but it's no vacay. Danielle feels coming to Brazil and being with Garrick and Natalia is awkward. She and Garrick, they haven't been talking personally at all during this time apart. And she and Natalia also haven't been talking at all during this time apart. So she doesn't know where she and Garrick are. She doesn't know where she is with Natalia. And it feels so awkward. She feels awkward like a third wheel. Garrick and Natalia complain to Danielle. Instead of asking her how she is, they complain. They play the victim about how difficult wedding planning is. They bitch about how they've made 4 trips to the office. And the other day they were in the office and this guy who works there found Garrick online. He searched him and he found out that the Merrifields live as a plural family. So now the judge has to give special permission to do the marriage. And Natalia complains about how stressed she is because it's possible there won't even be a wedding. And she complains about how tired she is. And Garrick starts crying. He tears up because if this doesn't work out, Natalia will be delayed in moving if they'll have to go with the K-1. So Garrick has tears in his eyes and a pregnant Danielle comforts him. This made me sick. She's sitting there rubbing his knee, asking him, "Well, why are you so emotional?" And Garrick explains he is emotional, he is in tears, because it will delay Natalia coming to America to be with him. Mind you, no one has asked about the pregnancy or about Danielle or about her well-being. Garrick is playing victim, complaining about how hard it is, and Natalia is complaining about how tired she is and how stressed she is. Garrick is in tears over Natalia being delayed over this. And no one gives a fuck about Danielle and the baby. No one gives a fuck about Danielle's tears or Danielle's emotional struggles. Danielle hasn't complained once. As the Queen of England said, never complain, never explain. Danielle hasn't complained once, and no one has asked her about how she's doing, about the baby. And Garrick and Natalia want to make it seem like their stress is the most important thing in the world. It's the only stress in the world. It's the primary stress. When Danielle is the one who is pregnant and no one seems worried for Danielle, it's the Garrick show. And Garrick is being a pussy. He's worried about Natalia not being able to move to America immediately if the judge doesn't approve this wedding. He's not worried about his baby. He's not concerned about his pregnant wife. No one has said one word about this baby, but Garrick wants to tear up and put on a crying show over Natalia possibly being delayed coming to the U.S. He's crying over the fact that he might have to jerk off for a few extra weeks before Natalia gets to America. Never mind that this guy has a wife with a baby on the way, an unexpected baby. Garrick's feelings come first. Who the fuck are these people? How the fuck are they so creepy and selfish? Danielle is the one comforting Garrick, and she assures Garrick that everything will happen the way that it's supposed to. You know what? Natalia and Garrick should be the ones comforting her. This is unbelievable. Garrick sighs in despair. He shows more emotion over possibly not being able to marry Natalia in Brazil now, possibly not being able to get the visa that he wants to get, and then having to get the K-1, having Natalia be delayed to come to America. He cries more over that and shows more genuine despair and emotion than he does over the news that Danielle is pregnant. We see no emotion there, but tons when it comes to Natalia being delayed. Natalia asks Danielle how she feels about her marrying Garrick, and Danielle says it's good. and she asks if it's strange for her to be there. And Natalia tells Danielle, listen, that she and Garrick are very tired, they're very stressed, and Danielle assures Natalia, that's okay, just turn to God, that's how God works, we have to go with God, the usual Kool-Aid that Garrick gives her when he wants her to shut the fuck up. And Natalia rolls her eyes at the Kool-Aid talk. And Danielle tells Natalia to trust it, to trust God, and Garrick asks Danielle if she is really surprised about this baby. It's like Natalia and Garrick want to make it look like Danielle is desperate and like Danielle got pregnant on purpose. And I know there are some viewers who think that. I don't believe that. Natalia seems to question Danielle. She asks, surprise? And Garrick tells Danielle to explain to Natalia that she's surprised, that God works in mysterious ways and God does things in his time and blah, blah, blah. And Danielle says she was surprised. And Natalia says she wasn't surprised. And she straight up asks Danielle if she used a condom on fertile days, if there was any protection or any type of birth control at all on her fertile days. And she did this in English, no translator, perfectly fine. So Natalia could speak English. Now, Garrick tells Danielle that Natalia is asking if they had unprotected sex. And Danielle says, yeah, of course, Garrick's her husband. And Natalia says it's not a surprise if she and Garrick knowingly had unprotected sex on the fertile days of Danielle's cycle. Now, of course, Natalia is trying to imply that Danielle did this on purpose. And like I said, I know there are some viewers who have wondered if this was intentional on Danielle's part to keep Garrick or to rejuvenate their relationship. But I personally don't think so. I think it was stupid of her to get pregnant, but I really don't think Danielle masterminded this thinking Garrick would be more present with her based on how she reacted when she found out that she was pregnant. This woman was devastated when she found out she was pregnant. It wasn't happy news. If she secretly wanted this and planned this, we would have seen less of an emotional reaction from her. She was scared about raising this baby alone, and I believe that's genuine fear. I don't believe she did this intentionally. Now, Natalia, of course, doesn't think it's a surprise, and Danielle is surprised, and she's surprised because it's been 14 years since she got pregnant, and they have been having unprotected sex for 14 years with no unplanned pregnancies along the way, and this is the first time that she happened to get pregnant. Natalia again says she is not surprised, and Danielle notes that she isn't sure she made the right choice coming down to Brazil. She feels awkward with Garrick, and she feels like Natalia is awkward too, and she feels like Natalia is trying to be happy that Danielle is here, but she doesn't think Natalia is happy that Danielle is here. She thinks Natalia is angry at her for being pregnant. And Danielle thinks that Natalia thinks she purposely got pregnant in order to keep Garrick and to save their relationship. So Danielle says she's here to support Garrick, even if Natalia feels like she doesn't really want her here. It doesn't matter what Natalia thinks, Danielle is going to be here for Garrick. Again, I do not think Danielle got pregnant on purpose to trap Garrick or to keep him. I think she was devastated by the news. I think a lot of viewers will think that, and I think Natalia thinks that. I do think now that Danielle is pregnant, of course, she is going to fight for Garrick, but I don't think this was planned. Instead of fighting for Garrick, she really should be taking this opportunity to leave the pasty noodle armed idiot in the extra medium shirt to raise her kids and find a man who loves and respects her as his equal, because Garrick isn't it, but that's just my opinion. Danielle deserves better. Next up are the Sherwoods, and they're meeting with their friend Rachel. And Rachel is a good sounding board for both Shane and Ashley as a couple. She's very honest with them about her opinion, so the Sherwoods tell Rachel all about Sarah. And Shane reveals that seeing Ashley and Sarah flirting during their second date when he met Sarah, that was the first time he saw the sparks fly between his wife and someone else. It was a weird thing for Shane to see. He felt awkward about it. He felt like the third wheel. Shane discusses some of his red flags, like, for example, Sarah hasn't been in a committed relationship before. She's just had casual encounters with couples. So that's Shane's red flag. But Sarah was willing to be exclusive with them, so Shane is a little less guarded now. Shane admits he was very skeptical about Sarah, but he's excited now, now that Sarah has committed. She makes Ashley happy, and Shane says that's all he can ask for. But the expression on his face and the look in his eyes say otherwise. I think Shane is hurt by this. I think it makes him jealous, and I do feel like he's more bothered by this than he admits. I think Shane is more bothered by this than he lets on, and I think he wants this to go very well so that he can have peace of mind because of his illness. And I think Shane also wants to protect his wife from any insecurities he might be feeling or any jealousy he might be feeling, because Shane's wife's happiness means more to him than anything else. But I also think Shane isn't being fully honest with where he is at with this, with his emotions. And maybe he is suppressing the extent of his awkwardness and jealousy and insecurity just because he wants that peace of mind so much because of the situation he is in, to know that his wife has someone other than him. I'm really rooting for the Sherwoods. I want this to work, but I really think Shane is a sensitive guy. I think he's a noble guy, and I think he's a good guy. And I just hope he feels like his feelings are a priority too. If Shane is shoving his feelings down just for the sake of some quasi peace of mind because of his health situation, this could all potentially blow up, and this could be a lot for Shane, and this could be a lot for Ashley, and it could be a lot for their marriage. I don't know. I'm rooting for Shane and Ashley. They're in a very tough situation, and I can tell all they both want is to find some peace of mind and some security, and I can tell they love each other, and I just hope Shane's feelings are heard and a priority at all times, regardless of how taken by Sarah Ashley is. Shane mentions his health situation and his operations and his cancer, and he explains that one of the reasons why they're trying to find Ashley a sister wife so quickly, it's for real life. It's a forever thing. It's not just because Ashley wants to sleep with women casually. This is serious. So Shane explains that he got his cancer screening. He'd been putting it off. He got the screening, and now he is waiting for the results. And he has been moving really fast with Sarah because Shane is very aware that he might not always be here, and he really wants to make sure, no matter what, that Ashley is always in good hands. Rachel asks the Sherwoods if they ever just step back and wonder, with everything going on, if this is the right time for doing this. And Ashley says all of this is part of the package for whoever they're dating. All of it. Shane's stuff, Shane's health stuff, her health stuff, all of their stuff, the babies, all of it is included for the potential sister wife. It all comes in a package, and they have to accept all of it. Ashley wants to know. She wants to know now if the new sister wife is not comfortable with all of this, if it's too much. They better tell her then. They better let her know soon. Ashley says that Shane is the only man she has ever been with who completely fulfills her in terms of what she needs from a man. And she explains that she is very new to dating women. But dating women, it feels right, and she feels she can have more emotional, deep conversations with women than she has ever had with any man. And she feels women just understand things at a different level. As Ashley is explaining her benefits to dating women, Shane has a resentful look in his eyes when Ashley mentions how women have more empathy and that she enjoys that. I think Shane has that past insecurity from college when his girlfriend broke up with him saying she was a lesbian. And I think he carries that insecurity with him. And he's mentioned several times that he has the fear that the new girl will only want Ashley. And he has this fear that she might steal Ashley away from him. And so anytime Ashley mentions why she might prefer having a girlfriend or dating a woman to dating a man, having a same-sex partner over a relationship with a man, I think it makes Shane worry about his worst fear, as unrealistic as that might seem. Shane shows everything he feels on his face, and you can see it all. Now, Ashley wants to know if Rachel is as optimistic as they are about Sarah. I like Rachel's answer. Rachel is really wise. Rachel is cautious, since Sarah typically entertains more than one friend with benefits at a time. And she wonders if Sarah can focus on one serious relationship. She especially wonders that if there are times when the Sherwoods can't give Sarah the attention she needs. Rachel wonders, for example, about things like, well, what happens when the baby is born, when there is a gap in communication with Sarah? She wonders what Sarah's default is. Sarah might retreat, Sarah might start dating someone else, and Rachel wonders what Sarah would do during that time if the Sherwoods had a break in communication because, for example, they went into labor or something like that. Rachel feels like Shane and Ashley have a very strong marriage, so keeping it strong, keeping their cohesive family dynamic, that is the most important thing. Shane knows that he is always going to have a lot of questions until the relationship is solid. And Rachel feels maybe Sarah might be a good fit. They're going to have to spend some time and find out. So after talking to Rachel, Ashley feels that it cements everything with them moving forward with Sarah. Next up are the Davis family. And April is spending time with her brother, who I like a lot. He tells it like it is. She and her brother, they're very close. They grew up together. But April's brother doesn't see eye to eye with her about her being a sister wife. And April tells her brother that Danielle moved back in, the family's gonna date again. And April's brother sighs. He knows this is a bad idea. And he wonders why they would add someone else into the family. April says she really wants this. This is the right thing to do. And her brother wishes April good luck, but he knows this is a clusterfuck. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Billy, April's brother, admits he isn't the most supportive of what his sister April is doing. He thinks April is honestly just getting more people, bringing more people into the family to keep Nick happy because he is not just happy with one woman. I like Billy. Billy tells it like it is, and he is here for his sister and no one else. He isn't down with the bullshit. Billy asks April if she is truly satisfied. And April says, yeah, she is. And it's the whole point. She's doing this because it makes her happy, because it gives her satisfaction. But Billy's personal opinion is that his sister and the rest of the wives are getting played. Amen, amen, amen. Of course, April doesn't see it that way. So Billy asks if Nick is getting the best of both worlds because he is a stay-at-home dad. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't work. And then he gets to have whatever girl his wives bring into the picture as he sits on his ass and the wives work. And April explains that Nick doesn't do nothing, and it's easy to think that that's how it is. But they all like Nick being a stay-at-home dad. They want him home. April touts her opinion like she is doing a sales pitch of a script she memorized with no passion when she is saying, well, we want him to be at home. And April's brother asks if she realizes that that's how people will see it, that Nick stays at home doing nothing while his wives work. That's how people see it because that's what it is. April knows that's how people see it, but she says Nick being a stay-at-home dad is role reversal of what society says the role should be. And Billy points out that before baby Vera was born, he asks what Nick did because Nick, before baby Vera was born, he didn't have anyone to watch. There was just April's son, William. William was a teenager. He was independent. He was old enough. So Nick didn't do shit before Vera. And Billy points that out. A producer asks Billy if he likes Nick. And Billy responds that he doesn't care for Nick's character. He thinks Nick is taking advantage of all the girls and he's playing the part well. Ding, ding, ding. 100. I like Billy a lot. He really says it like it is. April says, since they moved into the house, things have been good, and it only got bad when they started talking to Danielle about dating. April says it's like Danielle is scared that they are going to replace her. And Billy points out to April that none of this is normal. And April knows she doesn't have a normal lifestyle, and Billy feels they are rushing things big time with the dating. But April feels like she rushed it with Danielle and it went so good. It went so well. And Billy points out it went so good that Danielle left once. True. Billy asks if Danielle is telling them what they want to hear instead of what her true feelings are about dating. Hell yes. Billy knows what the fuck is up. April denies that. April says she thinks that they're all in agreement, that they all genuinely want to move forward and date. And Billy tells April that she's screwing herself, bringing in another chick. April knows that Billy is being protective, but she says it's always been their dream to add more sister wives and to have more kids and to have a bigger family. She feels like being in a plural relationship is all about more love to share. And, you know, when April delivers this bullshit, it really feels like regurgitated Kool-Aid she memorized from a book. She doesn't truly seem like she believes in the words she is telling Billy. Now, Billy tells April that she is making a big mess. I agree with that. April feels that there is a chance, of course, that her brother could be right. And maybe pursuing a fourth wife could cause them all to lose Danielle as a family. But she says Danielle said she is ready to date. And so April wants to trust Danielle. She wants to take Danielle's word for it. But she says if Danielle ended up leaving again, it would be heartbreaking for her. April feels time will tell. You know what? If it's really so heartbreaking and genuinely devastating to lose Danielle, for Danielle to possibly leave, why take the chance and date at all when all these grown adults clearly know that Danielle doesn't really want it? Even Nick admitted last episode that he knows Danielle is just saying the words that they want to hear. Everybody knows it. They want to ignore it because they selfishly want to date. They don't really give a fuck about Danielle. Even Billy knows it. And how many times has Billy even met Danielle? What the fuck is this? They don't really give a fuck about Danielle. If they did, in my opinion, they wouldn't be dating, especially when we all know they know that Danielle is just saying the words they want to hear and that she's not really cool with dating. April is willfully ignoring what she knows to be the truth of how Danielle really feels about dating. She would rather accept the lie that Danielle presents as truth just to be agreeable, that she's okay with dating, that she's okay with this. And that's selfish because this is what April wants because she knows Nick wants it. And this is what Jennifer says she wants because this is what Nick wants. If April truly cared about Danielle, none of this dating bullshit would be happening at all. None of this would be happening. And everybody would be able to tell everyone else in the family their true, genuine emotions without being afraid, without feeling like you have to just be agreeable. Back to the Salahuddins, Naeem mentions how judgmental and against polygamy his mom is. His mom thinks polygamy is nasty and all bad. And Nyla feels like dating in polygamy is a huge challenge because you have to see your spouse date and you're married to him as his wife and you have to watch him date and you have to be okay with that. She admits it's difficult, it's not easy, it's not for the weak. Nyla isn't being honest with herself. She says she hasn't felt any moments of jealousy yet. She thinks she doesn't have jealousy because she is confident in her marriage and she and Naeem have been married for a very long time. And she says if she does start to experience jealousy, that isn't a feeling she has to act on. And she's very self-aware. She knows it. She knows it's a normal human emotion to feel jealousy. But by this time in her life, she's sure she knows her feelings. She's aware of her feelings. She understands her feelings very well. And she understands that her feelings are not fact. They are just feelings. That's a lot of talk. But when she actually experiences jealousy, it's not going to be that simple. Now, Naeem thinks Nyla saying she hasn't experienced jealousy. And he thinks that's because they just haven't gotten to that stage yet where they're that progressed in a relationship. Shamir feels that Nyla won't know how she will feel about jealousy until she is all the way in it, until she and Naeem fully get their feet wet. Shamir feels for polygamy to work, communication is key. And Michael, Shamir's husband, says his red flag when dating a new woman is the new woman's attitude towards his wife. He is looking for longevity in a relationship, not a fly-by-night. And after talking to Shamir and Michael, Naeem says it makes it clear that they will need patience, that communication is key, and Nyla knows there is risk with anything in life. And pursuing polygamy could potentially create a rift in their marriage. Jealousy could arise, and Naeem could also decide to leave her as a wife for the other woman. She knows anything could happen. Anything is possible, but she knows if they live based on the what ifs, they would never move forward. And Naeem feels the benefits outweigh the risks, and if they succeed with this, things could be 10 times better than they are right now. When Naeem mentions how if polygamy works, they could be 10 times better, Nyla looks hurt. Look at the expression in her eyes. She looks hurt by that, as if she is taking it like she isn't good enough or their marriage isn't good enough on its own without this polygamy thing. I know Nyla talks a good game about she doesn't experience jealousy, she's not insecure, they've been married so long, blah, blah, blah. But wait till she gets a taste of that jealousy. I suspect Nyla is going to have much more of a roller coaster ride than she anticipated with that. And she definitely will get jealous. And we know that for a fact, because when the Salahuddins were going to pick up the no-show Keisha, Nyla had that talk about no hooking up, no staying in the hotel room, no going up to the hotel room. She had a lot of insecurity surrounding that, surrounding the limits of the affection with Naeem. Because when it comes to Naeem with another woman, apparently in the past, there was a woman who was more interested in Naeem, the man, than the family and a sisterhood with Nyla. And that became an issue with Nyla. So Nyla does get jealous. She's human. And it's natural to get jealous. But I think it's going to be much more of an issue than Nyla is willing to admit right now. Back to the Merrifields. Danielle and Garrick were outside working out together, spending some time together. And Natalia got a phone call that left her distraught. Apparently the judge who was supposed to marry Garrick and Natalia told Natalia no, they're not allowed to get married. They aren't licensed to get married because Garrick lives like he is married to Danielle. Whether he and Danielle are legally married or not, that prevents Garrick from being allowed to marry Natalia in Brazil. Garrick is devastated by the news. Natalia is sad. Garrick isn't sure if it's illegal to get married in Brazil. He thinks it's just that he isn't supposed to be legally married to two people. He doesn't think there is a law in Brazil that says you can't be legally married to one wife and also have a girlfriend. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what the exact law is, but he knows they're not allowing him marry Natalia in Brazil. Danielle, of course, doesn't look sad with the news. Danielle looks like she is trying her best to hold back joy. Eric does a little diatribe about the government. He is distressed, of course. He says that he feels the government is getting in the way of people who are happy, wanting to love each other, people wanting to be together. And Natalia was very excited about getting married, but she is now very sad about this and she goes to lie down and be alone. She's very stressed. Garrick is distressed. And so Garrick and Danielle decided to spend some time alone together. They went on a walk. Garrick doesn't know what to think about the wedding and the visa. He explains that he and Danielle were struggling when he left for Rio, and they struggled off and on throughout their whole marriage, and this was a good break from Danielle. Garrick says during that time, he considered his struggles and he considered being a better husband to Danielle. And he feels he and Danielle have made a huge step and he is happy about the baby coming. Danielle was nervous because she knows Natalia and Garrick are dealing with a lot. And now Natalia is discouraged about the wedding. And Danielle asks how Garrick feels about moving forward with Natalia. Garrick doesn't think they have another option. They're just going to have to do the K-1 visa and wait it out. And the lawyer advised Garrick and Natalia that if they got married in Brazil, the visa process would go a lot faster than the K-1 fiance visa. And that's why they chose the other visa. But now they're just going to have to apply for the K-1 fiance visa. And that takes a much longer time. It's going to take 8 months to a year and a half to be finalized to where Natalia can come to America. Garrick laments over all of the wasted time, effort, and money they spent pursuing Natalia. He says it's a bummer. And Natalia is also having a really hard time with this. Danielle admits that she is relieved because of the state of where things are with Natalia and the state of where things are with Garrick. She feels so relieved that there isn't going to be a wedding. Who can blame her? Although I don't know why she keeps insisting on holding on to Garrick. I would be leaving his ass. She also thinks that she and Garrick's relationship right now needs a lot of work. There are many things that don't feel peaceful right now. So Danielle feels maybe this isn't the right time for the wedding, and maybe God wanted them to go and take this time. And maybe the K-1 visa is a better option because of that. So Danielle says she has a lot of thoughts. And she tells Garrick maybe it's a blessing in disguise because God knew that it would take longer this way with the K-1 fiancé visa. So Danielle is smart. She manipulates Garrick using the same God Kool-Aid he uses on her whenever she tries to have her feelings and be heard, and Garrick tries to shut her up. And I enjoyed seeing Danielle use that tactic on Garrick and Natalia, giving Garrick a taste of his own medicine. I wonder how comfortable Garrick felt. Did he feel placated when Danielle brought up the Kool-Aid? Because how he feels right now is exactly how Danielle feels every time he tries to manipulate her with his God bullshit. Danielle says there is a purpose for this delay and God always has a plan, even if it's not easy. I love hearing Danielle regurgitate this bullshit to Garrick to shut him up, because every time Danielle said, I'm not ready for this, I don't know if I'm ready, how did Garrick shut Danielle up? Baby, oh baby, this is a blessing. We can't just ignore God's plan for us just because we're nervous or we're worried about getting hurt. God wants us to do this. We have to do this. We have to do this now. And Danielle would say, well, I'm not ready. Oh, but we're going to go against God's plan just because you're not ready. So now she's throwing this bullshit back in his face and I fucking love it. Garrick complains that all of his work and effort and money spent, all of it is for nothing. Natalia is sad. Natalia is devastated. And Garrick doesn't know how he can comfort Natalia. He wonders why God allowed this. Why, God, why? But he doesn't want to make the same mistakes like they did with Roberta. So Garrick now thinks time is important in a relationship. And he thinks it was hard on Roberta not having more time with him. And that affected the relationship. Garrick says things can get bad. It can ruin a relationship. And Garrick hopes it doesn't end that way with Natalia. It would be nice to see Garrick this concerned about his pregnant wife and the mother of his kids, his wife of 16 years, Danielle. Where's the concern for that? That does it for this episode. I'll see you next week for the next episode of Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 10, Seeking a Deeper Understanding. I'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye.